if you find that God is all that you have, then you realize that he's all that you need. And that's El Shaddai. That's the almighty, all-sufficient one. I like in John chapter 14, in verse 8, where it was Thomas, he says, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Show us the Father, and it suffices us.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, pastor of Bethany Baptist Church and founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one.
God said, as for your wife Sarah, do not call her Sarah, for Sarah will be her name, and I will bless her indeed, and I will give you a son by her. My. I will give you a son by her. Well, but wait a minute. He's almost 100. She's past childbearing. What in the world? But El Shaddai. But El Shaddai. See, when El Shaddai shows up on the scene, he's able to override. Remember what we said, one of the root names for definitions for Shaddai was to overpower. When El Shaddai shows up, he's able to overpower any situation that might be going on. Even between two people that can't have a child, he's able to overpower that situation and allow a child to come forth. See, you know, and the problem is that sometimes we call ourselves trying to help God out, right? You know, Abraham and Sarah, they figured that they were past childbearing age. So Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham so that she could bear a child for them. So they thought, now, wait a minute. We're talking about the almighty, all-sufficient God. They thought they could help him out, right? The nerve of it. They thought that they could help God out. The almighty, the all-sufficient one. God don't need your help, right? He just says, you need to just trust and obey. And if you'll do that, you know, I'll work this thing out. Why? Because I'm El Shaddai. I told you about me going back to Colorado. Let me tell you about me leaving Colorado. That when God called me to go to seminary, I left Colorado. I dropped, at the time I had one child, I dropped them off in New Mexico until I could go to Virginia to get things straightened out to bring them to Virginia. I left Colorado. I think the church blessed me, and I left, and this was back in 1978, 79, somewhere in there. They blessed me with a couple hundred dollars that I could have in my pocket. I got a U-Haul, and everything that I had that I owned was in this U-Haul. And I traveled from New Mexico all the way to Virginia with a couple hundred dollars. Now, you can imagine, you know, you got to pay for gas. You know, I had to get a hotel room, you know, along the way. And when I got to Virginia, to say the least, my resources were depleted. And I'm in Virginia. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where I'm going. And so I got there on a Saturday, and the people were registering for school. And so I went to the seminary line to register, and there was another brother. And now again, I got this U-Haul sitting out there, right? Don't know where I'm going to stay tonight, right? He came over, and he thought that I was in the wrong line. He said, you know, big football player, you know, he needs to be in the college line. And so he was coming to tell me that I needed to go in the college line because I was in the seminary line. And I said, I'm going to seminary. Right? Oh, he said, oh, okay. And so we struck up a friendship. And you know, one of the first questions that he asked me, what? Where are you staying? I told him, I don't know. And so he said, well, follow me home. So I followed him home. And I guess, you know, he had to go into the house to break the word to his wife, right? That what's that movie? Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, right? So he had to go break the word to his wife about me coming. And I remember I was sitting out in my car, and then all of a sudden I saw one child come out, two children come out, three come out, four come out, five children, right, come out of the house. And then him, I guess he must have said something, and they were excited to be able to have somebody come stay with him. And then I remember his wife, Miss McFarland, she came out and she said this, never forget it. She said, welcome to the McFarland Inn. Welcome to the McFarland Inn. And I stayed with them for about a month, and then they said, you need to get your wife. You need to bring your wife out here. I said, no, nah, well, I said, you know, I don't want to, I'm already staying. I don't want to bring, you know, my family out at this time until I get set up and get a place. He said, man, he said, you need to bring your wife. And so the next thing I know, I was talking to Angie, and her and Nicole were on the way. But who provided for me in that situation? It was El Shaddai. It was the all-sufficient one. That he's the one that's going to make sure that, he's going to make sure that you have everything that you need. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the God who provides. And Abraham and Sarah, he promised them that they were going to have a child, and God was the one who provided for them. One of my favorite missionaries in the history of the church is a guy by the name of Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor, and I have three slides that I'm going to put up for you. Hudson Taylor said, with El Shaddai, all things are possible. He said this, I have found that there are three stages in every great work of God. Stage one, it is impossible. Stage two, it is difficult. And stage three, it is done. Oh, I like that right there. I like that. Three stages, you know, in the work of God. That you look at something and you see that it's impossible. Then you look at it and you see it's difficult. And then you look at it, and by the power of El Shaddai, it is done. It is done. He's the God who specializes in the impossible. He's the God who specializes in miracles. The second slide that I would like to share is Taylor says this, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. When you are called to do the work of God and you do it God's way, guess who's going to show up? Guess who's going to show up? Every time El Shaddai is going to show up. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Why? Because he's El Shaddai. He is the God who is the source of everything. He is the God who is the one who overpowers. He is the God who nurses us. He is the God who dwells in the mountains. He's El Shaddai. And the last slide that I want to share is this, and I love this right here, and I've quoted this on many occasions, El Shaddai. Just think about this. During an especially trying time in the work of China Inland Missions, Hudson Taylor wrote a letter to his wife. And very simple. One line. He said, I guess she must have asked him, how much money do we have? He replied, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. have 25 cents and all the promises of God. What did Hudson Taylor realize? He realized that El Shaddai, the one who is the Almighty, the one who is all sufficient, that he's able to supply whatever need that we have. The all-sufficient one. He's the Almighty God. We see this in the book of Job. Let me share with you this. The word El Shaddai appears 48 times in the Old Testament, or really in the Bible, 48 times in the Bible. El Shaddai, the Almighty, 48 times. Listen to this. 31 times it appears in the book of Job. Wow. You think that Job got to know him as the Almighty God? 31 times, 48 times in the Bible, 31 times in the book of Job, the word El Shaddai is used. Job was encouraged in Job 8:5. He was encouraged to seek God amidst his problems. In Job 8:5, it said, "But if you earnestly seek God and ask the Almighty," what's the word there? You know it, El Shaddai. "Ask the Almighty for mercy." And the implication is that he'll give it to you. Job, man, El Shaddai is pasted all through the book of Job. And God was trying to get a message through to Job that in the midst of your suffering, that I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty. I looked at some of the areas that Job was suffering. Let me just run down this list to you. Some of the areas that Job suffered. He suffered financially. He lost all of his livestock and his servants. He suffered as far as his family was concerned. He lost his sons and his daughters. He suffered relationship. And I don't know what happened between him and his wife, but what did his wife tell him? She told him to curse God and die. So evidently there was some tension going on between him and his wife. So he suffered relationally. He suffered spiritually. He was distant from God. He suffered physically. He had boils all over his body, open sores, and worms were eating his flesh. And he suffered emotionally. He had nightmares every night. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced what Job experienced? I don't think any of us to that degree. You lose your whole family except your wife. You lose all your possessions. You lose your health. Emotionally, you're having bad dreams, right? You can't sleep. And you say you got problems, right? And you say you got problems. But God was there to let Job know that no matter what problems that you have, that all throughout the book of Job, God was saying, "I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. I am the one who is sufficient to take you through whatever it is that you're going through." Job got to know him as El Shaddai. Maybe you're having some difficulties today. Maybe you're having some problems and you need to call on the Lord and you need to get to know him as El Shaddai. And I want to close with this last one, and it's found in Psalm 91 in verse 1. And I guarantee you that as soon as I start quoting this verse, that you sitting at home in your living room, in your bedroom, at your kitchen table. Now, we hope that you're not driving watching. All right. But as soon as I begin to quote this, many of you are going to be able to finish it. And it says, the one who lives under, well, I'm quoting from another version of the Bible, but in the King James, it says that he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But let me read this in the Contemporary Standard Bible, and it says this: the one who lives under the protection of the Most High. Okay, now this takes us back to last week. And what was the name of God for last week? It was El Elyon, right? So he says, the one who lives under the protection of the Most High, under El Elyon, the God, the Most High God, look at this, look at this, wow, shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, which is what? El Shaddai. El Shaddai. This is powerful. The psalmist takes two names, two El names of God, and couples them together to let us know that God is a God who's able to protect us. He's a God who's able to shelter us. Let me read that again. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High, El Elyon, shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, El Shaddai. Right? Man, you think God is trying to get a message through to us? Using these two words, El Elyon and El Shaddai, the God, the Most High God, the Almighty God, who is sufficient for all things, and he brings these two names together and lets us know that if we abide under the shadow, if we come under the shadow, you know, I don't know if you can see this on your TV or on your computer, but there's a shadow being cast over this flower right here, this plant, right? I'm moving, the shadow is gone. I'm standing right here, the shadow is cast over it. And it says that if we just abide under God's shadow, it did, you know, notice it did. I mean, we can abide in his presence. We can hold on to his unchanging hand. We can do all that, right? Praise God that we can do that. But it says, if we just come where? Under his shadow, that we are protected. That's protection. What's that saying? You in good hands with Allstate. When you abide under the shadow of God, that you are protected beyond compare. And if we go on to read further in this psalm, it says, he will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. That El Shaddai will protect us. Now, a little bit later, you know, it talks about, and I know I'm going to be walking on a little shaky ground here, but I'm going to go ahead and say this, right? A little bit later, it says that when El Shaddai is protecting you, it says that no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. What's the word plague? The word plague can also be translated, watch this now, virus. Now, I could be here for the rest of the day talking about why some people get the virus and some people don't. I can be here the rest of the day talking about why some people get the virus and get deathly healed. I can be here all day talking about why some people get the virus and die. You know, I don't, you know, that's beyond my pay grade, right, to try to figure that out. You know, I'm not the Almighty. I'm not El Shaddai. So I do believe that we have to wear masks. I do believe that we have to social distance. I do believe that we have to sanitize our hands. I do believe that there are other precautions that we need to take. But my brothers and sisters, the bottom line is this, that God is able to keep any plague from coming nigh your dwelling. Now, again, I'm going to go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what did they say when they got ready to throw them into the furnace? They said that we don't know whether God is going to deliver us from the furnace or not. But we know that he's able. We know he's able. I don't know if God is going to deliver us, deliver me, deliver you. I don't know if he's going to deliver us from the virus. But I know one thing. He's able. I know one thing. El Shaddai is able to deliver us. And so we thank God for El Shaddai and his protection. There was a missionary by the name of John Patton, and he was in the New Hebrides Islands. And one night, the native people surrounded his compound, and they were going to burn it down. And him and his wife just began to pray. And as they prayed, they got up the next morning, and everybody was gone. And their compound was left intact. About a year later, the chief accepted Christ and got saved. And when he got saved, John asked him, that night that you guys surrounded our village, I mean our compound, how come you didn't burn it down? He said, who were all those people with you that night? Who were all those people with you that night? It was just him and his wife. But they prayed. And guess what? El Shaddai protected them. El Shaddai kept them safe. And so El Shaddai, I love Psalm 91, pulling together El Elyon, the Most High God, and El Shaddai, bringing these two names of God together, letting us know that he is one, that if we will abide under his shadow, that he's able to protect us. And he's able to keep us safe. How can we apply this message today? 2 points of application. We should recognize God as the Almighty and that there is nothing too hard for him to do. He enabled Abraham and Sarah to have a child in their old age. We should recognize God as the Almighty and that there is nothing too hard for him to do. The second point of application, we should trust the Lord to nourish, sustain, and meet our every need. We should trust God to nourish, sustain, and meet our every need. Father, we thank you for El Shaddai. Thank you that you are El Shaddai. You are God Almighty, you are the all-sufficient one. And Lord, we've seen you do it in our lives time and time again. And we are so grateful for what you do. Lord, we pray that you would, I think of the song that says, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. Lord, give us grace, give us faith to trust you more, realizing that you are God Almighty and that you are the all-sufficient.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join in next time for the first half of El Olam, the Eternal God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download the more than 400 teachings that are posted there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.